All right, welcome back to KMBR tonight, and it's time to flip gears and talk about the 49ers Sunday night matchup coming up with the Indianapolis Colts at Levi's Stadium. And here to do that and break down all things 49ers, our great KMBR.com insider, Jake Hutchinson. Jake, how are you?
I'm good. This rain is kind of a nice change of pace. I'm kind of with it.
Yeah, I'm with it, and I'm also with the bye week. I like sitting down and watching Red Zone and not having to worry about 49ers football and getting worked up about a kicker situation and a kicker injury. So different for me. How did you spend the bye week?
Yeah, I tried to relax, watch a little less football tape than usual, and then it felt weird and wrong. And so, you know, Monday starts, and I'm right back at it. Feels more comfortable, honestly.
Yeah, back down at Levi's today. 49ers practicing, getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts. Right off the bat, 49ers 5-point favorites over a team that won 31-3 over the Houston Texans. What are your impressions of the initial line here?
Oof, that seems a little bit high, given what 49ers have done lately, and that neither quarterback has, you know, really produced. Like, Garoppolo's got the two wins, but he's probably looked like the less impressive quarterback. I think that's maybe a little generous for the 49ers. I would have expected that it would have been at 3 or something like that, which is not to say that I don't expect them to win. I think some of the things that have gone wrong with them, drops, holding calls, just not executing plays in very bizarre, uncharacteristic ways, and getting the best from defenses that maybe aren't that good. I don't know that a lot of that is replicable. So I do think that some of these things that have gone wrong for them might go away. And again, these have been against fairly good teams, but I'm still a little surprised that they're getting that they're 5-point favorites, which is to say the Colts aren't very good, you know, so it shouldn't be too much of a surprise, but they made them a lot of mistakes over the last few weeks. So that's a decent amount of points.
You were tweeting about some of the mistakes the 49ers have made and some about some of the offensive line play. And this really caught my eye earlier today. You talked about the gap in average time to throw between Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And one thing that Trey Lance absolutely has to improve upon to give himself and this 49ers offensive line a better opportunity to move the football, just getting the ball out of his hands. And it'll probably be Jimmy Garoppolo this week. He was the quarterback who was practicing today, but that was a really striking difference for me, but something that I think you can also help a quarterback kind of develop and get the ball out of his hands quicker.
Right, right. I think there's a lot of levels to it. With mobile quarterbacks, that number is always going to be higher. But with Lance, it's substantially higher from, you know, any other mobile quarterback. So he's clearly just taking longer than he should. But at the same time, he's, you know, a rookie. And sometimes he was just getting pressured and had to get out of there. But I think a lot of what it comes down to is when you have an offensive line that's used to having a guy that's basically a short game quarterback, gets the ball out extremely quick, adjusting to a guy who does a lot of off schedule stuff and, you know, facing a defensive line like the Cardinals, where, you know, Zach Allen, who was pretty terrible before that, had a great game. J.J. Watt played tremendous. Chandler Jones is great. Adjusting to that with a guy who takes longer it's a lot to deal with just sort of on the fly. So I think some of it is on the fact that there were limited reps for Lance in the preseason, and the offensive line is basically having to adjust to a guy who's, you know, on average takes about a second longer. So yeah, there are going to be some holding calls with that. I think a lot of that's on Kyle Shanahan, maybe not getting enough reps for Lance in the preseason. And I think going back to Jimmy, you'll probably see a cleaner game. It won't be as exciting. I don't know if they'll actually move the ball as well. But, you know, against a team like the Colts, who've been pretty underwhelming, it will probably be enough to win.
So Jimmy Garoppolo back on the practice field today, of course, coming off of the calf injury. Trey Lance dealing with the knee strain. He is not yet back out there. Trent Williams, I read this quote from earlier today. He said, "It seems like Jimmy looks like Jimmy." I couldn't help but laugh because I think that most 49ers fans would tell you that that's probably not a great thing. How did you read into that? And did he seem upbeat when he delivered that line?
It's one of those, anytime there's a quote where, you know, Kyle Shanahan often says, he said earlier this year, "Jimmy's a football player." Praise a football player. It's quotes that like mean nothing, but they say it with a tone where it sounds like something. Trent was kind of like that. He was basically asked whether Jimmy looked okay, and he's like, "Yeah, Jimmy, you know, he looks like Jimmy. He looks like the same guy." So I don't think he really meant anything by it. I just personally always find those quotes funny, especially coming from Trent, who's he's got a sense of humor about it. I think Jimmy just looked like he wasn't hurt, which is a good thing. You know, where you land on the Jimmy Garoppolo debate, I tend to land on the fact that, you know, he's just an average quarterback. The fact that he's healthy is a good thing, no matter how you feel about it. But, yeah, I don't think Trent was saying he looked great or he looked terrible. He's just saying, you know, he looks like Jimmy Garoppolo, which is okay, you know.
No, I'm with you. Anytime a player thanks the faithful, I always love when we see that those tweets come out from the writers as well. Hey, big news on the defensive side of the football today. K'Juan Williams back on the practice field. Williams, of course, dealt with an injury. And the defense performed well against the Arizona Cardinals, limiting Kyler Murray and his squad to 17 points. But getting K'Juan Williams back can really make things click for this group, I feel like.
Totally. And I think of one play, I think it was against the Seahawks, where Dante Johnson ran what they call a shark blitz, where it's usually K'Juan Williams blitzing out of the slot. And on those plays, he gets an incredible amount of sacks, strip sacks, fumbles, turnover. Like, he's just really, really explosive on those opportunities. And Johnson almost sacked Russell Wilson, but failed. Wilson got away. It was a great play by Wilson. But it also wasn't, you know, the best tackling technique by Johnson. And I have to think that Williams maybe makes that play. There's just things like that where Dante Johnson didn't even play that poorly. He wasn't, you know, the reason for losses at all. But Williams is just, you know, second nature for him. He's an elite slot corner, like Jimmy Ward pointed out. He plays man-to-man in a way that, again, not a lot of guys can do. And it just eases the burden on everyone else in that defense and, you know, often makes quarterbacks look elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think it takes away some of the quick game, because if you've got a guy in the slot that you trust, and Carson Wentz, you know, not some big downfield passer, at least at this stage of his career, look, if you're eliminating a guy for right off the bat, that can always help with K'Juan Williams. And, of course, you mentioned his ability to come off the edge on a blitz or stop the run, very important for this 49ers team. Just some thoughts on the Colts in general, what you've seen from the 49ers' next opponent. 2-4, the big win, 31-3 over the Houston Texans, but the Texans starting Davis Mills. How much can we read into that? How do you see this matchup for the 49ers?
I just see it as a matchup that, you know, they absolutely need to and should win. It's, you know, there's some teams like the Colts where they're just there's a little bit of weirdness. You know, the quarterback, you don't really trust them at all. And I think when you don't trust the quarterback, that leads to indecision with playmakers. Now, they traded a lot for a quarterback that they, you know, probably don't fully trust. So I don't know about that approach. But I think with the 49ers, it's like this is one of the easiest, you know, quarterback matchups you probably get all year. You know, Carson Wentz is not the Carson Wentz he once was. He probably.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Never will be again. You know, people have reclamation projects, but, and this is all coming after a game where he might have played one of his best halves of the year. But again, it's a team that, you know, they've got DeForest Buckner, they've got Darius Leonard, they've got a pretty good offensive line, but, you know, the quarterbacks, he's not really one to be trusted. And the 49ers, you know, granted, they're working with Jimmy Garoppolo and a rookie, but they have an elite defense. They still have great skill players, even without George Kittle. I just think this is a game where they really, really need the momentum to flip. And after a few games where you can say, okay, a few plays just went wrong, tough opponents, you know, it's okay, whatever. After the bye week, just shake it off. If they don't get this one, that is really, really, really demoralizing. especially at home. They need to reestablish that they can actually win games at home. It has been a long time since that's actually happened for this team.
No question. Jake Hutchinson of KMBR.com, 49ers insider and beat reporter, joining us here. Jake, a few minor roster moves the 49ers made today. Michael Kendricks signed, linebacker out of Cal. He's with the team now. Jamichael Hasty designated for return from IR. What do you make of some of the smaller roster moves that the 49ers made today?
Yeah, I believe it was at the end of last week, Kyle Shanahan said he thought that Marcel Harris, who broke his thumb, was going to be able to go this week. He wasn't out there at the start of practice, so I assume that there's, you know, some questions in terms of maybe the severity was more, or it's just going to take longer to heal. Either way, I think with Trey Greenlaw still a couple of weeks out, they definitely needed more depth there, and Kendricks was a guy that they brought in for about a week in training camp and have probably kept tabs on him. So just a veteran guy that they know they can probably trust in a pinch. I think that makes sense. Jamichael Hasty is a pretty huge bonus in terms of, you know, they were relying on Jacquez Patrick and Trent Cannon and guys you just weren't familiar with and, you know, didn't really produce. Not that Kyle Shanahan lets anyone other than, you know, Elijah Mitchell really touch the ball at this point, but Hasty was a guy they tried to use as a third down back. Just having him back for depth, especially in some passing situations. He runs a really nice Texas route, which is probably my favorite running back route. The one that Jeff Wilson sort of runs to perfection.
Yeah, the one that he beats the Cardinals on whenever he plays against them.
Exactly, exactly. And he ran it in the Super Bowl, too, I think, on one of the early plays. I think it was his only snap. But Hasty's a decent receiver. You know, you'd like to think Trey Sermon, a guy that they traded up for in the third round, could be that guy. But I'm not sure they have full faith in him yet. And just having Hasty back for depth is pretty useful.
Hey, let's look big picture here. I was able to sit on the couch yesterday, probably more than you were, and watch the rest of the league. And one thing that really struck me, second week in a row, watching the Arizona Cardinals really intently, I do think that there are two Super Bowl contenders in the NFC West, and I think that those teams are the Cardinals and the Rams. The Rams obliterating the New York Giants, and Sean McVay not even happy about the win afterward because of execution issues. But I think that those two teams have just as good of a shot as any in the NFC to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And I think with the Cardinals, you thought it maybe could get there at the start of the season, but, you know, Cliff Kingsbury still had a lot of questions to answer. You didn't know what you were getting out of A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, guys who were basically husks of their former selves prior to this year. Both look reinvigorated. They got Zach Ertz back, who's almost in that same mold as a veteran guy who looks like he's still got it a little bit. And they just acquired him after Max Williams went down. They've got a lot of weapons, and Kyler Murray, you know, Trey Lance can learn a thing or two about protecting yourself because Murray does it better than anyone else. He gets out of dangerous situations. He just finds escape valves. He's really tricky to track down. And with the Rams, you know, for so many years, the only thing that was really holding them back was Jared Goff. And you would just see McVay almost head in hands, just sort of, you know, he had that stone face where he didn't even have an expression, but you could tell inside he was pretty much ready to explode. Just, you know, and you saw from Shanahan sometimes with Garoppolo where they're just like, I called the right play, but the quarterback couldn't execute it. And that's not to say Matthew Stafford is perfect. He makes some head-scratching plays. He's always done that throughout his career, but he is an exponentially better quarterback than Jared Goff, and it's immediately raised the ceiling for that team pretty substantially.
Now, no question, it's really fun to watch Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's offense, and on the flip side, it is really demoralizing to watch Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. I'm actually coming to like Dan Campbell for his honesty in his post-game quotes, and I think there's a real, like, everyman quality to Dan Campbell in Detroit, but you could tell he's losing it with Jared Goff over there. One more for you, Jake, before I let you go. Sunday Night Football last night, the Seahawks get it to overtime. Geno Smith, 49ers had to finish in front of the Seahawks this year. I know that they've got the head-to-head issue, but it just, to me, the Seahawks are a shell of their former selves.
Yeah, and until Russell Wilson, which he was doing a lot to get on camera last night. He really wanted to be in there doing the – he's like, oh, is somebody filming me doing this pregame warm-up thing? It's like, yeah, Russ, okay. Playing coy, Russ, nice.
We haven't forgot about you, Russell Wilson.
Right, right. It's like, yeah, do your whatever. Do your thing, Russ. Be, you know, enjoy your time off, which he doesn't seem like he's able to do. But yeah, 49ers have to finish above Seattle. And honestly, despite all the issues they've had, I really think this team should still finish 9-8. They've got, I think, four division games left. I think they should win two of those, despite, you know, how good both of the Rams and Cardinals have looked. I just think if you can at least, you know, get one out of those two teams and get one against Seattle, that's, you have to accomplish that. There's no way they're not winning at least one game in the division, and they should really win at least two. And then they're facing the Texans, the Jaguars, the Atlanta Falcons, just as the Bears, Colts, some teams that are just bad, like objectively bad. And then there's some toss-up teams like the Vikings, the Titans, and then the Bengals, where I just think you've got so many bad teams on the schedule. You should win at least two division games just based on the fact that the NFC West is weird, you know, not even by merit. And then you've got like three toss-up games. They, despite, you know, how they've looked so far, they should be able to get to 9-8. Maybe that's a little optimistic, but it's just such an easy schedule. They have so much talent. Some of the ways they've lost have just been so, so odd. I think they still finish this season with a winning record, despite how it's gone.
Well, Jake Hutchinson, you were the first one who harped on this and opened my eyes to me. I think it was after the Green Bay loss. They've got a fourth-place schedule. It's a last-place schedule. The 49ers have plenty of opportunities to continue cleaning up like you just presented. So thank you so much for your perspective and your time tonight, sir. We always appreciate it here on KNBR Tonight.
Hey, appreciate you having me on.
All right, a lot more coming up next. You're listening to KNBR, KNBR-FM San Francisco with Kerry Crowley, 104.5, 680, the sports leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.